Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Auto, home, life, business insurance. They find you the right insurance at the best price that fits your budget. Claim happens, they act as if it happened to them because they're your partner in all of this. It is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our play-by-play call of the day, history for J.D. Martinez.
A 1-0 pitch, Martinez, another drive, he's done it! Four homers in the ballgame for J.D. Martinez. He's tied a major league record. That one into the left field bleachers, scoring Pollock ahead of him. And J.D. Martinez a part of history tonight here at Dodger Stadium with a four-homer ballgame. And even some of the Dodger fans are cheering here at Dodger Stadium.
Interesting what he did. He's the 18th player in the history of the majors to hit four home runs in a game. Thus a true slice of history there. But how he did it, he hit a home run, I think, in the second inning, and the game went along. I think it was a 2-0 game until the seventh inning, going into the seventh inning. Well, it ended up being a 13-1 game. And because they kept batting around, Martinez hit a home run in the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth. That's the first time that's ever been done. So he hit four home runs last night. It's interesting because you see players come through here. And State College will be hosting the 2018, next August, New York Penn League All-Star Game. If you go buy a program, get everything signed that you want, because they're great about signing, and keep it and checkmark who makes it. Because in the 2009 New York Penn League All-Star Game at Medler Field at Lebronto Park here in State College, one of the All-Stars was a kid from Tri-City in the Astros organization by the name of J.D. Martinez. And I remember that we had an event the day of the game. We had one out at Tussey Mountain. And then the day of the game, we had a luncheon at the Mount Nittany Club at Beaver Stadium. And J.D. Martinez was there, and he kept looking out at Beaver Stadium. He looks over, and he says, wow, this is really cool. Well, that's the guy that hit four home runs for the Diamondbacks yesterday. You don't know when you go to a game here or in Williamsport who you're going to see. And I mentioned the 2018 New York Penn League All-Star Game being here next summer. That 2009 game produced several major leaguers, and one of them, J.D. Martinez. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. There's about a month or so ago, and we had Mitch Rupert on the show, the Crosscutters beat reporter for the Williamsport Sun-Gazette, saying that's why Crosscutter fans were just so happy to see Adam Haseley in town, the Phillies' over number one draft pick, because, yeah, you never know when he'll finally make it up there. We can say, yeah, we had a chance to see him.
Exactly. And you don't know who's coming in on the other team. And that's why this All-Star game, these are the players perceived in the league to be the best of the best at the moment. Well, they're all going to be here in State College next August for the game. And I hearken back to the 2009 game, and there's several players that played in that game, like a Brock Holt, who's now with the Red Sox, and people like that, who played in that game. Well, one of them was J.D. Martinez. He was a member of the Astros organization at that time. He was playing for the Tri-City Valley Cats. Then eventually went to Detroit. Now he's with Arizona. Guy, for example, I'll tell you, a guy who's not an all-star but is a really good hitter, Domingo Santana of the Milwaukee Brewers. I announced his first professional home run. He was playing for Williamsport. Guy could hit. I mean, I'm talking like hit with power. Rhys Hoskins, Where do you think Rhys Hoskins started his career? Williamsport. Freddie Galvis, Cesar Hernandez, Andrew Knapp. They're all Williamsport guys. So if you want to see them early, that's where they are. Sometimes they skip a guy like Mickey Moniak and J.P. Crawford did not go to Williamsport. But that's what happens when you get the out-of-high school player. They don't go to the New York Penn League initially. It's the second year they go to the New York Penn League, unless they're so good they skip it. And in the cases of Moniak and Crawford, they skip them. They skip that level. They just went to another level the second year. But if you're out of college, and Knapp was out of Cal Berkeley, I'm trying to think where Hoskins was out of. But, like, you know, those guys, they're all, you know, you're out of college, that's where you go. You go to the New York Penn League. Okay. We were talking about Pitt before and about whether they should be on the schedule every single year. Here's the issue that I have. With it. Again, I go back to the eight conference games. The eight conference games was not put in for the benefit of the Penn States, the Ohio States, and the Michigans. The ninth conference game was put in for the benefit of the Purdues, the Indianas, the Illinois, the Northwesterns, and so forth. I mean, that's why they did it. And they're not going to say that, but I'm telling you that's why they did it. But what it does is it bottles you up scheduling-wise. If you have eight conference games and four openings, I think you can schedule Pitt all the time. My problem is, see, and that's why Kentucky can play Louisville, Georgia can play Georgia Tech, Florida can play Florida State, Clemson can play South Carolina. They're, all those rivalries, while not being in the same conference, they both, they're from conferences, each one that has eight conference games. They have great flexibility. Big 12, Pac-12, Big 10, don't they all play nine? It also does strengthen your schedule overall. I mean, Penn State's crossover schedule is Iowa, Northwestern, Nebraska. Pretty good. To go with what you always play, Ohio State, great. Michigan, great. Michigan State, Indiana, Maryland, Rutgers. You got to play them every year. So now what do you do with Pitt? Can you play them every year? Yeah, you can play them every year. Of course you can. And by the way, if somebody calls the show right now and tells me that they think Penn State should play Pitt every single year, you are absolutely entitled to your opinion. I'm not going to fight you on that. No way. If that's how you feel about it, perfectly fine. Now, I come at from a different approach. I mean, I'm just because I'm perfectly fine with that doesn't mean I necessarily agree with it. Just like if you think Pitt should be on there every single year, you're not going to agree with what I'm saying. But when you're what we don't know yet in going into the fourth year of the college football playoff is a mixed message on what non-conference means. Now, one of the reasons they say Ohio State got in last year, even though they did not win a division or a conference title, is that they had that big win at Oklahoma. Okay. I can buy into that. I'm fine with that. Okay. Their only loss was at Penn State. All right. But Washington got in instead of Penn State, even though their best non-conference game was Rutgers at home. Huh? What? Really? At least Penn State, when they played Rutgers, played them on the road. So there's a mixed message on that. And I also like the variety and the flexibility in that spot. I like the fact over the years that I've broadcast Penn State Miami games, Penn State Notre Dame games, Penn State Alabama games. You know, games like that over the years. I've enjoyed that part of it. you know, that different non-conference game that brings you to a different part of the country. You know, to Notre Dame Stadium, or you go down to what was then the Orange Bowl, when the Marlins play there, now they tore that down, but down to the Orange Bowl, down to Tuscaloosa. I can remember one time Penn State doing a home and away with Texas and going down to Austin. You know, I wouldn't mind down the road to maybe do a game on the coast, Stanford, UCLA, or somebody. Go back down south, play Texas or Texas A&M, or you know, something like that. With a variety to it. And Penn State's got Auburn coming up. Now, for all we know, when the two teams roll around and play, Auburn is playing great, incredible, and it's the marquee game of the weekend. Or something happens and they're mediocre. I mean, you can't predict it that far out. Pitt's a good program. They're a good program. Are they a great program? No, but they're a good program. Having them on the schedule in terms of the national championship fight is not going to hurt you. But just take this particular weekend. As much emotion as there's going to be in Beaver Stadium, there'll be a lot of emotion in Beaver Stadium. People will be shoehorned in, and there will be a lot of emotion in the stadium. No question. Nationally, it's not the game of the week. Nationally, it's not the second game of the week. Nationally, the game of the week is Ohio State-Oklahoma. The next, quote, best game on the list is Clemson and Auburn. You just get a feeling that when Penn State plays Auburn, it's got a chance to be one of those, quote, somewhere, national games of the week. And then there's the other part, too. And I say this with all due respect, because I'm not putting Iowa's program down. They have no control over this, but I don't want Penn State to be Iowa. Iowa is forced every year to play Iowa State. Every year they have to play Iowa State. Or the Cy-Hawk Trophy, they have to play them in everything. Basketball, football, every sport. And Iowa's schedule is constantly criticized nationally when they're making any kind of run at anything, in part because they're saddled with playing Iowa State because they lost all their scheduling flexibility. And I don't want that to happen to Penn State. Even Colorado State. I watched that game the other night for a period of time on the Pac-12 network. Right? That game's ending in 2020. Times have changed. Doesn't mean they've changed for the better, but times have changed. I didn't say for the better or for the worse, but they've changed. And you have to adapt with it. Now, if you feel they should play Pitt every year, you'll get no argument from me. I completely understand how you feel about it. I just watching the way things have played out nationally and the way times have changed, maybe sometimes, but not every year. And I think the 9 conference games bottles up your flexibility. Nothing you can do about that. Go back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Back with you on the Steve Jones Show, WKOK. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. We now have them available on both iTunes and Google Play. And, of course, you can go to our website, too, stevejonesshow.com. We got them on there as well. with you live till 5. We'll have Phillies baseball again tonight here on WKOK. Phillies losing to the Mets yesterday afternoon by a score of 11-7. So they'll continue that series tonight here on WKOK. By the way, our picks from last week. And I will admit, one of the picks, though, that we had last week was Maryland and Texas. And I will admit that I was texting Steve's brother, Kevin. I was going, Terps. So,
unfortunately, they lost a quarterback for the year in that game.
Yeah.
Pigram kid was Tyrone Pigram. Lost for the season. So Maryland lost him for the year. Texas A&M's quarterback injured out significant period of time.
Now, wasn't it at one point during training camp Maryland was pretty much trying out three quarterbacks for the start?
Yeah, but he won it. And he was the guy. And then Westbrook, the wide receiver for Indiana, ACL out for the year. Francois, quarterback for Florida State, out for the year.
That was a tough one. Very tough one.
And I go back to what I said about Virginia Tech and West Virginia. It's very hard to pick a team with a Big 12 defense. Very hard. If you gave me a choice between a Big 12 defense and the Maginot line, I would choose the Maginot line. Historians, you can look that up. Check out World War II. But that's how I look at it. But I want to go back. I've talked about the series and how I feel about. I think a lot of it to me has to do with the logistics of an 8-9 conference game season. I like the variety of it. I like the fact that you're going to look and see, well, there's Virginia Tech. All right, well, there's going to be Auburn. Well, after 2025, who else are you going to have? I like to see who that's going to be, that difference-making non-conference game. Can it be Pitt once in a while? Of course it can. Of course. Every year, for me, just my opinion, every year, no. And you as a fan may feel completely different, and you're the one spending the money. So, if you feel differently, please say so. It's not my place to sit here and argue with you about whether it should be or it shouldn't be. Just for me, big picture-wise, I want to see either some variety or a national impact intersectional game that might be a difference maker in getting you to the college football playoff. Now, Pitt may be that team. I don't know as the future plays out. And then, of course, back to what about the emotion of the week. Pat Narduzzi last year did not have his players talk to the media. He is not having his players talk to the media this year either. Okay. I mean, that's his choice. That's what, that's what he wants to do. It's fine. I'm not going to sit here and be critical of him. That approach won him the game last year. But the narrative, and I think we've discovered over the years, a lot of narratives are just not true. A lot of narratives make adorable stories, but some of them are in fantasy land. The narrative had been, Pitt gets the rivalry, the emotion of it, the whole thing. Penn State's just business as usual, don't get it. That's not how Penn State practices. Penn State practices with pace. Penn State practices with energy, and there is emotion in practice. You make a big play, you celebrated like you made a big play. Coaches celebrate like you made a big play. I don't care if you're on the scout team or you're on the varsity group. This is not a practice where you go, okay, great job on play 8. Card says we go to play 9. Here we go. Play 9. I mean, what do you think? They mechanically, robotically go through practice? It's pit week. Here we go. They practice the same way with emotion and geared up during practice of this week, the same way they will for Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia State, whatever, because the emotion and energy is already built into the practice. You don't have to manufacture it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, they run the gambit when it comes to insurance needs, and they find you the best insurance at the right price that fits your budget. And if there's a claim, they go to work right away for you. They're your partner. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Now, usually we do the sports bozo of the day, but can we do a 180 of that today? The 180 of that is, on my cable, I am able, even though it's not in HD, I'm able to get Pac-12 Network. So I watch Colorado State on Friday night. Saturday, when I got home from the Penn State-Akron game, and my son was here from Rochester, my son Mike and his little boy Ryan and his wife Mary Beth, we're sitting down to eat, and we're watching USC and Western Michigan on the Pac-12 Network, because it turns out in the afternoon that was the most exciting game of the day. Western Michigan had a shot. They took the lead. So now USC comes back. They gain some control in the game. They score very late in the game. And Clay Helton sends out Jake Olsen to snap for the extra point. Now, do you know the story of Jake Olsen? He's blind. And he goes out there, the holder, he has to put his hand on the shoulder of the holder to bring him out to the field and then get him out to the ball. Then gets over the ball, and then they set up, and he snapped it right on the money, and it was kicked through. And then he has to wait for the holder to come back, and he puts his hand on his shoulder, and he comes off the field. He's crying, and everybody in the USC sideline is crying. What a great, great moment that was. I mean, great moment. We could talk about all the nasty stuff that happens in sports. There's so many different issues that we talk about. I mean, tomorrow we'll probably be talking about what the NFL's doing with Zeke Elliott or not, whatever. That was one of those moments why we love sports. We watched that when it happened. Not on replay. We were watching it when it happened. I thought, this is the coolest thing going. And he snapped it right on the money. Now let's get to the comedy moment of the week. I have to give complete and absolute credit to Colin Cowherd of Fox Sports for this. Okay? I mean, this is a great line. As you know, Robert Lee was taken off the Virginia William & Mary game, right? And in fact, he was put on the Pitt-Youngstown State game. Now, I didn't hear any of the broadcast, but I had a couple of people tell me that they were watching it on ESPN3. They said, wow, he's pretty good, actually. And I'm sure he is, because as I mentioned, I've met Robert Lee before, because he does Siena basketball. So when Penn State was in the CBI and played at Siena a couple years ago, I met him. Really seemed like a nice guy. Well, we all know he got moved off the game because his name is Robert Lee, and they didn't want him broadcasting in Charlottesville. Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports said ESPN is really, really lucky that there was not a Confederate general by the name of Herb Street. I heard that. That's funny.
That is funny. General.
So they're really, ESPN's really, really lucky there wasn't a Confederate general by the name of Herb Street. I suppose when you're a former employee.
I'll be walking back through that door anytime soon.
But I got to admit, I thought it was a pretty good line, though. Oh, my goodness. Tampa Bay and the Dolphins are scheduled to play down at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. They're not going to play it Sunday. They're now looking for other places to play it. I have not looked at the schedule at all. For example, I don't know, for example, if like the Louisiana Superdome is open this week. I don't know if the Saints are on the road. Or maybe they'll go and play at Clemson for, I don't know, they could play there, I suppose. Or they go up further north and maybe play if they don't think Orlando's affected, or if they don't think that Jacksonville is affected. I don't know. They could stay in the state.
Well, Saints are at the Vikings. That's Monday Night Football, part of the doubleheader next week.
Yeah, but for all we know, they have a boat show in the Superdome, so we don't know. Because they have a huge boat show there every year. So
this could mean the Dolphins.
That's usually in February, though. Go ahead.
No, this could mean that now the Dolphins could be down to 6 home games because they had a game taken away from them because they have a game in London. One of those 4 games that will be part of that international series.
Well, this is one of those where this hurricane is. This is a Category 5 hurricane right now. So since it's a Category 5 hurricane, it might be a 4 by the time it gets there, but 4 is nasty. Andrew was a 4 in 1992. Of course, Katrina was a 5. This right now, Irma is a 5. So whether you have 6 home games or 7, I think is irrelevant based on circumstance. Right?
No, I was just looking at it on a complete competitive disadvantage standpoint.
No,
just playing.
I'm not in any way putting down what you said.
No.
I'm just making one of those factual statements. It has nothing to do with anything.
I was just thinking of the sports side, but yeah, I mean, nothing you can do. No. I mean, that's just
right. Exactly. I wasn't in any way, shape, or form indicating you said anything wrong. I know the logic of what you're saying is, and I'm sure the Dolphins have talked about that. Like, oh, yeah, we're down to 6 home games now. What do we do? But you know, this is one of those moments of nature. Now, you know, I mean, think a turn. Who knows? But they don't want to take the chance of it. We're going to play a game in a hurricane? No, don't think so. So, now you don't want to endanger the fans. You want to make sure the police have all the ability to get people off the streets and do what you can do. Bill Hillgrove joins us tomorrow, by the way, on the show. Great, great respect for Bill. What a legendary career he has had. Steelers announcer. He's announced 2 Super Bowl winners, over 40 years in the Pitt broadcast booth. He's a class act. A class act in every way. So it'll be a privilege to have Bill on the show tomorrow. We'll touch on both.
Yeah. Also, just heard back from Dave Spadaro, Philadelphia Eagles insider. Mm-hmm. We'll have Dave on tomorrow as well. So,
yeah.
Mega dose of Pennsylvania football tomorrow. So, love it.
Yeah, that'll be great. Now we're not. We'll get into some Steelers stuff. With him tomorrow. We'll mostly talk about Pitt because of the game coming up here, but we'll get into some Steelers stuff. I mean, mystically and magically, Le'Veon Bell has appeared. He's here. He's also here probably for the last time.
And this has rubbed some Steeler fans the wrong way, just for the fact, well, you know, where was he in Latrobe day one? Well, it's not as if he could have been there anyway because he didn't have his tender signed back then.
Well, first of all, he controls when his tender is signed.
Sure.
But at the same time, the Steelers controlled things and they franchised him. Well, since the Steelers franchised him, okay, now they did offer him a big contract. They did offer him a big contract. So we'll see. I think this is his last year there. I don't think they're going to. I think he's out. I mean, Suit's so upset that his nameplate's upside down. Did ever get that straightened out?
Yes, he did.
How does that happen?
You tell me.
Am I under oath?
Let me hit stop on the record button here real quick. Okay, we're good.
All right, I did it.
No, getting back to Lev Bell, I'm just curious as to his durability, as to how he's going to get through a season. Yeah, when you get into late season Steelers Patriots, you know, how fresh he's going to be compared to the rest of the guys that went through training camp.
You lose being fresh by about the third or fourth game, Sean. I mean, when you handle the ball as often as he handles it, and they don't usually baby, you know, you look at the history of Le'Veon Bell when he's either been out by suspension or injury or whatever. The first game he comes back from that in starting a season, he usually gets the 18 to 25 touches in a game. They don't baby him back. They don't ease him back in. Let's just give him a few here and there and break him in. He takes it. He goes. So by the time they get to the third or fourth game, Sean, he probably at that point by game four is probably going to have as many as 100 to 125 touches per game at that stage. And at that point, Sean, that means like late in the year, that just means he's going to keep getting 100 to 125 touches every four games. So you get to late in the year, he's not going to be fresh. He's going to be beat up pretty good. And it just means he didn't have training camp to get beat up. I mean, they are not going to baby him with, you know, well, let's go 8 to 10 touches, and then we'll increase it to 10 to 12. I mean, they're probably going to give him 18 to 25 touches right out of the gate on Sunday against the Browns. Because that's been their pattern with him over the years. My prediction of how they're going to use him on Sunday is based on past performance as to how they've used him when a similar situation, not exactly the same circumstances, but similar situations have come up. So by late in the year, he'll be as beaten up as any time. Just because he missed training camp, he'll still take a pretty good beating where the cold tub is going to be necessary probably every Monday or Tuesday, depending on when they play, or Friday. All right, we'll take a break. Wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Doug and Kevin do a great job. Doug's an outstanding play-by-play announcer. Bucknell off to a great start after their win over Marist, 45-6. Now Holy Cross at Christie Saturday at noon. I understand the Suit sent you a text during the break.
Yeah, he said he's over Le'Veon Bell. Done with him. Can't leave Suit enough.
My goodness, last October we're getting the same text with Ferlazzo doing Shikalimi broadcast. What a coincidence.
What a difference a year makes.
Oh, boy, I miss Ferlazzo. All right. All right.
I was trying to describe it lightly, calling it a sabbatical, and you put me in my place. So I was just trying to... Yeah, it was more sabotage and sabbatical. So,
I mean, sabbatical is when you go out and I'm on some research project that can save the world. As opposed to, I don't want to do this. I want to watch my kid play. Okay. then all of a sudden we get Frelazo, and it's like, wow, like the Al Michaels of local radio. Sabbatical, bad move. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Saturday, Penn State, Pitt, 3:30 the kickoff, 2 o'clock the airtime at Beaver Stadium. They will be shoehorned into Beaver Stadium for this one. They have not played in Beaver Stadium since 1999. It's interesting, I mean, with younger fans, I'm going to be interested to see how they react to all this. Because if you're looking at the Penn State student body, say you're a senior, you're 22 years old. All right. Well, you're 22 years old. That means you were born in 1995. That means you were 4 years old the last time Pitt played in Beaver Stadium. Penn State's going into his 25th season in the Big Ten. So they played 24 Big Ten seasons. So in that 24 years, they have played Ohio State 24 times. They have played Michigan 22 times. They have played Michigan State 21 times. In that same span, they played Pitt 5 times. Again, times change. I mean, I didn't say they change for the better. That's not what I said. But it is a fact that times have changed. Texas, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, with the 8 conference games, then I think you've got a lot of flexibility. With 9, you have minimal flexibility. You essentially have one spot instead of 2 to deal with, because you really do need to have 7 home games. Your responsibility is to your softball, field hockey, baseball, women's soccer, wrestling, women's volleyball programs, women's basketball. Your responsibility is to them. So how do you fill it? And you'd also, I think, like to have some flexibility with what you're doing with your schedule, I would think, in terms of other opponents, like an Auburn coming up. Doesn't mean Pitt can't be one of them. But playing them every year, not easy. Not easy. Again, this is where Iowa gets stuck. Iowa's stuck. They have to play Iowa State every year. They have no scheduling flexibility. There's no other room for them to have another home-and-away intersectional game. Because they're mandated to play that game. And, of course, we've always heard about, you know, the legislature might get involved here. Pass budgets. Okay, there we go. Now, we all have our jobs. Football scheduling is not one of them. And if you think they should be playing Pitt every year, great. I will not argue with anybody that wants to say that. Never. I just have my own viewpoint on it. And I know my viewpoint is separate from others. But I've tried to take a big picture look at it because of where everything is now. I mean, I know we don't have, you know, Kansas and Missouri don't play basketball anymore. Texas and Texas A&M don't play football anymore. I mean, you can wreck rivalries just in the same conference. When Nebraska was in the Big 12, they put Nebraska and Oklahoma in different divisions. Well, when they did that, it stopped Nebraska and Oklahoma from being the Thanksgiving weekend game. And because they were in different divisions, they rotated off of each other's schedules once in a while. You can kill rivalries even within a conference if you schedule it differently. One of the issues is that you get the rivalry weekend, UCLA, USC, Clemson, South Carolina, Florida, Florida State, whatever, Auburn, Alabama. And Penn State has a rotation as to who they're playing at the end. It was Michigan State the last 3 years, or last 2 years, now, or last 3 years. Last 3 years, now it's going to be Maryland for the next 2 years, and then after that it's going to be Rutgers for 2 years. So it's not even consistency for Penn State at the end of the schedule as to who they're playing. And Penn State fans, I'm sure, would love to see that there's several. I mean, some of the fan base, yes, some no. Would like to see Pitt be that team in that spot. But for younger fans, it's going to be interesting to see how they react to this. Because, like I said, Penn State's in its going into its 25th Big Ten season. So if you're 32 years old, or even 32, 33 years old, you're 7 or 8 when Penn State got in. Not exactly kids. So to them growing up, it's been Penn State, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, and a couple of Penn State Pitt games. See, the longer this goes, in terms of the gap, I'm always to see what it's like in the stadium on Saturday. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a wild atmosphere because they haven't been here in 18 years. So young, old, in between, yeah. Now, will it be the same kind of atmosphere as when Michigan comes here for the whiteout or the way it was for Ohio State last year? I never saw such unbridled joy in that stadium as I saw when they beat Ohio State. Same thing in 2005, same thing with Nebraska in 82.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.